these hearings yesterday were devoted to what are called business systems, just the various systems you have for managing all your figures, all your labor, everything. And without those numbers, of course, it's impossible to really conduct the proper audit and see whether charges were billed properly for the proper types of jobs and so on. And that was the thrust of yesterday's discussion. And today we're going to have a hearing that looks particularly at subcontractors. The interesting thing about that is that about 70% of all the contracting work in Iraq has been, and Afghanistan, has been transferred or passed on to subcontractors. And our auditors, the Defense Contracts Audit Agency, does not have visibility into how those subcontractors actually put their numbers together. So you can imagine, when there's no visibility, there are huge opportunities for waste, for abuse, and perhaps even for fraud.
Because when you look at the thing that the commission is investigating, and that is contractor systems, at first it's a little surprising, because you would expect these major prime contractors, these are people that are not new to federal contracting by any means, DynCorp, KBR, Fluor, and so you would expect them to have systems of long standing that could conform to federal financial requirements and contracting requirements. Do they in fact have them at the prime level?
Not really. And it is ironic. One of the difficulties, especially faced by KBR at the start, of course, was that they had a ramp up well beyond anything they had possibly imagined. But, of course, that was 2003, 2004, and here we are 5-6 years later, and KBR in particular still has a number of systems that the Defense Contract Audit Agency considers to be inadequate. And here's the nub of the problem. The Defense Contract Management Agency, which is a different agency, they are the ones that manage the contracts. They're the ones that say everything is adequate. And KBR kept coming back to us. In fact, they testified yesterday and said, what we've done is adequate. The government has certified us as adequate. Well, it turns out the government is this particular agency as opposed to the auditors. And when they testified in front of us, they said, well, as long as there's a plan to remove all the difficulties, then there's no problem. Now, think about it. Somebody comes to you with a plan, and 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months later, they still haven't really taken the corrective actions that are in this so-called corrective action plan. Meanwhile, DCMA, the management agency, says, well, you know, they've got a plan, and they're adequate. So we've got some difficulties here, not just on the contractor side, but on the government side. And the contractors, all of them, pointed out and said, look, we wish the government would speak with just one voice.
And how do you get the two agencies, the audit agency and the management agency, to, you know, make some agreement about how they're going to handle this moving forward?
Well, it appeared to us that they still haven't. And one of my fellow commissioners raised the question of maybe there ought to be some body that coordinates the two. I suggested when it was my turn to ask whether perhaps we could look to the new Deputy Chief Management Officer that the Department of Defense will now get. This is based on legislation that passed last year, who would then be the ultimate authority, because right now one of the agencies, the auditors, comes under the comptroller, and the other agency, the contract managers, comes under the Undersecretary for Acquisition. So both of their chains are totally different, and this has caused some real issues.
Yeah, I guess that's a common theme throughout so many government problems. You find that there was just a lack of coordination between two or three agencies. But I have a question here in that regard, and certainly don't want to make light of what is perceived as huge cost overruns, but in the absence of systems that can give accurate information, how do we really know that the government was, in fact, overcharged? It's probably possible that the government was undercharged for some of the services.
Well, what the auditors have done, and they're very, very professional at this, is they simply go about and investigate on the ground. So, for example, if people are being charged, if the government is being charged for people working 12 hours a day, and in fact they're working 2 hours a day, you're not going to know that unless you go out and look. And in fact, the auditors have been out in Iraq since I brought them out there in April and May of 2003. They just announced yesterday they've opened another office in Afghanistan, their second office. So they're sending their people out there because it's only if you're on the ground that you can really get what's called ground truth.
Right. And so they're essentially having to evaluate how these contracts are working by actually looking at the processes underway.
Exactly. They're looking at those processes. They spend thousands upon thousands of hours on each case. They really are the best we've got in the accountancy field. These are really top-notch people. And the difficulty, of course, is that the terms that they use, the measures they use for determining whether something is adequate or not adequate are not exactly the same as the contract manager's terms. And we heard from the contract managers that a lot of this has to do with the somewhat vague language in the regulations. So we've got a third problem, which is not just the two agencies don't see things the same way, but there's room for lots of different interpretations in the regulations themselves, and those are going to have to be cleaned up.
We're talking this morning to Dov Zakheim. He's one of the commissioners on the Commission on Wartime Contracting that's going through a series of meetings, second one today, as he points out, that will look at contracting issues in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And I'm wondering if these companies might have an even bigger problem on their hands because some of them are publicly traded and there are Sarbanes-Oxley requirements for proper accounting of costs and billings and all of that. So it sounds like not only are they out of control with respect to what they're delivering to the government, but with respect to what they know about what they're doing.
Well, we asked each of them that yesterday and specifically referred to Sarbanes-Oxley. And the answer we got from all of them is that they've gotten clean audits from their accountants, their auditors, and all of their auditors are top professionals. And what happens is that because they are deemed adequate and have these so-called corrective action plans, there is no challenge to their numbers. Now, if the government had said that what they had was inadequate and that was a government-wide position and they had not cleaned those numbers up, that would be a different story. But the fact is the contractors have something to fall back on, and that left us extremely frustrated, I have to tell you.
Sounds like a lot of fig leaves being wielded around here.
Well, something's being wielded around, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Mr. Zakheim, you were Undersecretary of Defense and yeah. Chief Financial Officer at the Defense Department. Could some of this just be chalked up to it's wartime? Some of these issues?
Up to a point. The ultimate decisions on a lot of issues, for example, whether to withhold some payments for award fees. Now, of course, the greatest hammer in the world is when you don't pay somebody. Those decisions are made by the contracting officers on the ground, and they take account of what the commanders need. And one thing, two points need to be made very, very clear. The first point is that in spite of everything we've just been talking about, the soldiers and Marines are getting the services they need. That's number one. They're satisfied with their services. The second thing is these contractors have lost hundreds of people being killed, and these people are very brave. And so, you know, most of these, I'd say the overwhelming proportion of the folks serving our troops, their heart's in the right place. So, you know, you've got to take that into account. And the contracting officer, when making decisions about whether something's adequate or not adequate, whether there should be a withhold of payments or no withhold of payments, takes account of what the commanders need, of the situation on the ground, of the urgency of what's needed. In other words, if they drop a contractor, will somebody else immediately take up the slack? Remember, this is the same federal government that takes a very long time to get anything through. Well, you can't take those kinds of risks in a wartime environment. So there are some mitigating factors. But again, I think the commission felt that what might have been a tremendously mitigating factor in 2003-2004 was clearly not as powerful a factor in 2008-2009.
And so where do we all go from here? What's the final outcome do you expect from the commission?
Well, first of all, our co-chairman yesterday made it very clear to the two government agencies they want them back in 60 days to tell us how they've, whether they've done anything more to harmonize their own approaches. We, of course, have a mandate to recommend legislation to Congress, to recommend changes to the regulations, to make all sorts of recommendations. We've issued one interim report, and we, of course, will issue a final report. And believe me, we're not going to be shy about the recommendations we make.